David Hawkins is editor of the Congressional Quarterly's Roll Call and author of the Hawkins Here blog and column. That's a lot of work. He's covered Congress in various positions at CQ since 1995, and I think he is the expert's expert on doings in the Congress. Welcome, David Hawkins.
Thank you very much.
David, now we have so many things to talk about. Let's start with Gorsuch. There are many people who say, oh, well, it's absolutely obvious he'll be confirmed. Mitch McConnell will do the nuclear option. And from then on, there'll be all kinds of Supreme Court people getting on with a simple majority, making the Senate a lot more like the House of Representatives. What do you think?
I think that's a little bit oversimplified. But I think there's something to it, but it's a little bit oversimplified. So once this next nuclear bomb goes off, being detonated by McConnell, it will mean that all nominees for executive branch jobs and judicial jobs can get confirmed by a simple majority. We should remember that Harry Reid, the Democrat, when he was the Democratic leader, he set off the first such bomb in 2013.
Is that a mistake?
Was that a mistake on his part? Well, I think they're kind of regretting it
part.
Now. Was it a mistake on his part? Tactically, probably yes. In terms of because it is leading now to. I mean, Reid got some short term victory, and the president got some short term victory because they were able to reshape some of the appeals courts and get some of President Obama's cabinet secretaries picked. Was it a mistake in the long term for both parties? If both parties believe that sooner or later each of them will be in the minority and will want the right to delay such things, then yes, it was a mistake. And if you believe, sort of, I guess as I do, sort of as an institutionalist and kind of a civics geek, that the Senate, that this is what makes the Senate, then yes, I guess I think it was a mistake. Now we should stop at that point and say, but an important but here. The filibuster on legislation is still alive and well, and Mitch McConnell, even as he was setting this Gorsuch procedure in motion, was explicit and left himself no wiggle room in saying, so long as I'm the majority leader, there will always be the filibuster on legislation. I won't make any moves to change the filibuster on legislation. And that's pretty
important. How do we know he's not lying?
How do we know he's not lying? Because you do not get to be where he is by making a bald-faced lie like that. Mitch McConnell, whether you like him ideologically or not, he has a reputation of telling you what he thinks, whether he thinks you're going to like it or not. He is a straight shooter, and that's one of the reasons he got to be the majority leader. If he doesn't like what you're doing, he'll tell you in so many words, and if he likes what you're doing, he'll tell you in so many words. So, and I also, beyond that, I think it's actually in his best interests, because for one thing, the really big things that can get done legislatively are under the one wrinkle in the rules that don't allow a filibuster: big tax bills, big budget bills, even the health care bill. There's this whole process that Congress instituted for itself about 40 years ago that insulates such big bills from filibusters. So he's still got those rules at his back, and he realizes he's somewhat of an institutionalist. He's been up there for 36 years. That sooner or later the Republicans are going to be in the minority again, and they will want the ability to filibuster a future Democratic president's legislative program.
But he's probably sitting there saying, "What me worry? I won't be here. I don't have to worry about that."
Yeah, you never know. He's only in his mid-70s, and he's still got 3.5 more years to go.
He doesn't look it. Yeah, he looks like one of those turtles from the Galapagos.
You know that's you probably knew that's his nickname.
I've been calling him that for a long time, the turtle.
Well,
and
you're
I'm getting
alone.
A certain amount of negative. Is it possible I invented it? Because it seems so obvious to me. Anyway.
Well, you're not alone.
Anyway.
And there are a lot of people down here. And fear the turtle is the rallying cry of the University of Maryland right across the road from the Capitol. So there you go.
Okay. So Gorsuch, let's get back to him. He makes it or he doesn't?
Oh, he makes it.
Yeah.
Easy. This is a lock. Mitch McConnell, really, you would have thought that maybe there'd be some suspense and that some of the old bull Republicans wouldn't be willing to change the rules on filibustering Supreme Court justices, but they're all going to go along with it. It looks like he will have at most one or maybe two defections, but that he'll still get he will still change the rules, and then Gorsuch will be confirmed.
And what does the Gorsuch confirmation portend for the Supreme Court?
portends a return to the ideological balance that happened before Justice Scalia died. It will be a 4-4 solid conservative to solid liberal court with Anthony Kennedy somewhat in the middle. And so that is one reason why there was, you know, some serious talk among centrist Democrats. Maybe we should let this guy go through because it's at most a restoration of the status quo from 16 months ago, 15 months ago. And if we let this guy go through, if we don't filibuster Gorsuch and he gets confirmed, then we'll have kept our big filibuster powder dry for when a vacancy on the court happens that really would tilt its ideological balance, which presumably will happen. I mean, not presumably, but there's a decent chance that, assuming Donald Trump remains president for another 3 years and 10 months, that he will get another Supreme Court seat to fill, and that it will, given the demographics on the court, it's more likely than not that it'll be one of the liberals whose seat he will be getting to fill.
So don't the Democrats have an obligation to punish the Republicans in the Senate for not taking up Merrick Garland?
Do they have an obligation politically? They have some obligation
politically. And the reason I'm asking you that question is obviously I feel passionately about that. The president of the United States comes along. He, in good faith, follows the Constitution. He makes a nomination and he says, okay, give me a hearing and do what you want. And they won't even do that, the Republicans. Now, that's just not right, in my opinion. So do the Democrats now play nicey-nicey and say, oh, well, the markets, the Queensberry rules means that we have to be nice, unlike the way that they weren't nice? That doesn't seem right to me.
Well, okay. You get to hold that opinion. I'm not going to join you or not. I will say, speaking as a civics institutionalist guy, I would agree that it was an alarming break from precedent for Mitch McConnell to say that the president was already a lame duck who shouldn't get to fill a Supreme Court seat when he had 13% of his term left to serve out. That was a really big big change. But it worked for him. I mean, Mitch McConnell, a lot of us thought this was a really ridiculous, boneheaded move politically on Mitch McConnell's part, and it totally worked for him. Trump won, and he's going to get what he wants.
But of course, I would point out that there are people who say that Mussolini got what he wanted. You know, he was a mean, unprincipled person, and nobody stood up to him, and he got to be the dictator. I think that there is a point at which the Democrats feel that they owe it to themselves to say, this shall not pass without some kind of contention.
That's true, and that's what many, many of them are saying in their reasons for announcing against Gorsuch. They're sort of, most of them are talking about, not only is he, way too conservative, and he was picked by conservative groups, and there was no consultation, and he's out of the mainstream, and now even as we're talking, there are these allegations of, if not plagiarism, then something close to it in a book that he wrote about euthanasia. But everybody is mentioning, their fury at Merrick Garland. But they got outplayed. Maybe they got outplayed unfairly, but others are, but the countervailing view is we got outplayed. We got screwed, I guess, if you can say that on public radio.
You can,
and they got screwed. They did not, and one could argue they didn't play it well in the election, Alan, that they did not make as big a deal out of what Mitch McConnell had done to try and hold the Supreme Court seat open on the off chance that Donald Trump would win, in part because they didn't think there was a chance that was going to happen. They thought, okay, so Hillary will come in and she'll fill this Supreme Court seat with somebody even younger, even more liberal, and we'll end up getting what we want in the end. So they didn't play it right strategically.
Got less than a minute here, but I want to ask you real quickly. There's a lot of dark money. I can't turn the television on without seeing ads to write your senator about confirming Gorsuch.
Right. One could argue that this was one of the reasons why Donald Trump won the election, is that the culturally conservative hard right, the culture warrior right, was very wary of him, going into the summer, and then he said, look, I'm going to give you a list of 21 judges that I promise you I'll pick from, and he got some conservative groups to make up this list for him, and he stuck by his, and that more than anything else, steeled the spine of conservatives who know that otherwise Donald Trump ideologically is pretty much of a mystery, and that's why he won. And now they're going to spend enough money to make sure it happens.
And we'll have to leave it there. It's David Hawkings, the editor of the Congressional Quarterly's Roll Call, author of the Hawkings Here blog and column, covered Congress in various positions at CQ since 1995. Seems like yesterday to me. But David, again, thanks for coming. And when we come back the next time, let's talk some more about the court, okay?
You bet.